in love for their work's sake, not for the office sake, not the matter of an office, but for their work's sake. As I've been thinking this week, thinking about the work out in Zaire and trying to focus the picture at the present time out there, seeing how God has greatly blessed the work and how it goes on expanding and increasing in size, and I really believe in subjection to the Lord and His Word. Thinking of these little individual churches here and there all over the country, somebody said, well, how there are you seeing all this blessing and this expansion in the work and growth in the work? And sometimes in many places here, we're having such a hard time getting people in even to hear the gospel. Well, I saw this matter that we have recognized and used and lived according to, this matter of the eldership among the assemblies of God's people. Knowing those who have the leadership amongst the believers and who have the oversight of the assembly. They know who they are, and they have a considerable responsibility, a recognized eldership. I don't know, and I have no comment to make other than to say what we have seen in Africa. I believe that associated with the growth in the work and the steadfastness in the work has been the work of the elders, assembly by assembly, known elders. Elders who are going on for God and who are knowing the blessing of the Lord in their ministry. I can't take time to tell you what we're seeing in Zaire, how there's a very great movement on the part of ecclesiastic powers that would like to take control of the whole Protestant work there in Zaire, and who would impose on every local church group, with the local churches involved, impose rules, one being that every community, as they call this group of churches, they've been started by different missions who've gone into Zaire. They would like to impose on each of those communities the obligation of having a bishop. A bishop per community, and back there in Kinshasa, have an archbishop in charge of the whole crowd. And we've been very near to a missionary group, godly people indeed, who've turned over their work largely to the Africans there, and they accepted this. And they decided who they were going to have as their bishop, and a man from another country nearby, Kenya as a matter of fact, was going to be the one who would be more or less the bishop over the others, the archbishop. And the thing went over in their first preliminary council. Oh, we prayed because this was right on our doorstep, and we knew how this would be a real trouble for our own people there, to have such a highly organized hierarchy, and they would be pushed into some acknowledgement of it. We praise God that this particular missionary group had another with more missionaries present and with godly Christians from all of their work, and they turned that down very enthusiastically, and they said, we'll have nothing of it of it. This is not scriptural. We'll just not have it. And we praise God for it. It's true. They're working on a highly developed pastoral system in a very simple way, I must say, but nevertheless, they were being pushed into something, and they would like to have us all pushed into that episcopal type of church gathering and church government throughout the country. Praise God that year after year, as they've made it, particularly every 2 years, they made an effort to put this through. Every time so far, it has failed. I'd like just to speak a little bit now in connection with the ministry of the elders. Will you read with me in the 20th chapter of Acts? The 20th chapter of Acts. Paul sent from Miletus, Acts 20:17, he sent from Miletus to Ephesus. There's a local church there, assembly of believers in Ephesus, and Paul wouldn't go there himself. He wanted them to come down. He decided he would sail, verse 16, to Ephesus, and then called for the elders of the church at Ephesus to come and see him. And so they came, he knew who they were, and they were well known to the Christians there. And then he gave a ministry to them. It's a long passage, but you can read that at your leisure. I'm thinking of verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. First of all, to feed the flock of God. These are the shepherds of the sheep. And these who are the elders in this local gathering at Ephesus, they had the responsibility of feeding the flock. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. This is a characteristic in Zaire of the local church. Those who are the elders in the local churches, they feed the word of God to the younger believers and the untaught believers, and they grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They become strong in the faith because the word is given to them. And they're very careful to follow those that aren't showing up in the meetings. They'll go to their homes and talk with them why they weren't coming, and they had an interest in everyone. I might say, when we were down in California some months ago, in Laurel, they told us about, from the platform, they told us about their present plan. They have 11 elders in the assembly there in Laurel. And to be sure that no one is ever forgotten immediately, they have divided the responsibility of the whole assembly into 11 parts. And every elder has a list of names. And it's his particular responsibility. This is by general agreement amongst them. It's particularly his responsibility every time they gather to look and see that all his folks are there, just quietly and unobtrusively. And if they're not there, then he's to do some follow-up on it and find out why. 11 men keenly interested in everyone who's in fellowship there in that local assembly with a responsibility. And they also had regular programs on Sunday evenings, the way they had it, in which every group, age group, and shall we say group desiring a certain level of Bible teaching would be ministered to by those who among these elders were able to give Bible teaching. That's just, I just noticed that, we just noticed that this year there in San Diego, California. But we see that in Africa, not precisely in that way, but how there's an interest on the part of the elders and everyone who's in fellowship with them. And in verse 29, which is what I'm getting to now, Acts 20:29, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. These are from the outside, people who are coming in. And the elders are to be on the qui vive. They're to be watching for those who are coming from outside, bringing in wrong doctrine. And oh, I praise God, I've watched this for years out yonder. When the Jehovah's Witnesses folks come, and they come, and they're still coming, and they're working hard, and they are very subtle in the way they do. They know that our people like the Bible, and they see a man, and they'll say, oh, I see you have a Bible. Yes, I have a Bible. Well, you enjoy reading the Bible? Yes. Oh, that's fine. I do too. May I come some time and read together? We'll study together the Word of God. And the poor brother, perhaps, is quite an uninitiated individual, and he never heard about the témoins de Jehovah, the witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses, and so in hospitality, which is general in Africa, he invites them in, and they feed him, and then he very subtly brings in the doctrines of Jehovah's Witnesses. Those are from the outside coming in. But they also have, and I will say that, I should follow with this, that the elders then, hearing about this, they'll immediately contact that individual who has been led astray by this man, but not seriously, because their fingers on the whole thing. If they've heard one of these men got into one of the homes of believers, they follow up and give them teaching in this connection. And then they have public ministry to expose these wrong doctrines that are brought in from the outside. And had an instance of in which some charismatic folks came and wanted the privilege of giving their testimony there in the Nyankundi chapel. Well, that what's finished right now, because they know to turn the platform over to someone who is teaching wrong doctrine would be contrary to the will of the Lord, and they took care of that immediately, and there was no further problem. But in an assembly known as the Assembly of Cacho, there was one man whom I knew very, very well. In fact, years ago, he used to help my wife in the kitchen there in our home. And then he went back and back in an assembly. He was a fine fellow. In fact, he was one of the elders in the assembly. And then he got some ideas about not eating pork and other things. It wasn't particularly Seventh-day Adventism, but nevertheless, it was something along that line, and he started teaching that in the assembly and having separate meetings off to the side. Word of that got, just before I was coming home last time in January of last year. And they heard about it, and they came to me, and they said, you know, there's a problem here. This fellow, Yosia Talika, he's teaching wrong doctrine right in the assembly. And they said, four of us are going out there for a week's prayer meetings. And so they went to this other assembly to have prayer meetings with and to strengthen the hands of those of the elders who were standing firm. And at the end of the week, they came back and they said, I want to let you know that the Lord took care of this. That brother has weepingly confessed to his error, and he's asked to be maintained in fellowship, restored to fellowship. And everyone who was in any way tainted by what he had been teaching come to know the error of their ways and the error of the teaching, and they've given it up, and there's harmony restored. They're watching carefully. And that's what the Lord, what Paul was saying, the Lord was saying through Paul to those disciples there in the Ephesus, the Ephesian assembly. Feed. Another one is willingly. You see, in verse 30, it says, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch, watch, watch. This is a time when wrong doctrine can come in. And we can't tolerate these things, or say, as some say, well, up to a certain point, beyond that point, these certain basic things, the deity of Christ, perhaps, and this and this, this is the doctrine we stand. But these other things, well, that's a free for all sort of a thing. You have to watch, 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 because some will come from the outside and some will come from the inside. Paul says it here, and it's true. Therefore, watch a message to elders. The time is gone. I just want to add one verse here, and this is 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. And I'll read one more too. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now that sounds like a hard word, rule. But I think it just shows that there is an authority among those who are the elders of a local assembly, who should know the grace and love of the Lord. But nevertheless, there's a sense of authority that's given to those. And that's one reason I feel that things have gone as well as they have gone up to the present time in Africa, because those elders, they're watching very, very carefully and closely. Obey them that have the rule over you, Hebrews 13:17, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Well, I won't read any more, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, when it speaks about the Lord himself, the chief shepherd is coming one of these days, and we're not to dominate over people for domination's sake, but we're to feed them, and we're to do it willingly, and that we ourselves as elders are to be examples to the flock. May the Lord help in these few rather scattered remarks concerning the wonder of the church, which even angels are wondering at, the manifold wisdom as God has seen. Nevertheless, the way the Lord has arranged for the oversight of these local groups is by godly elders who have a care for the flock, who feed the flock and watch because of the wolves and because of those who come up right in the midst of the assembly with doctrine that would be disastrous. So we ask the Lord's blessing now that he may use these thoughts for his glory. Shall we pray? Our gracious God, we thank Thee for the word that comes to our hearts, for the joy we have, so many of us, giving forth the gospel, and that in Thine own wonderful way Thou art using Thy word. The word is with power and the Holy Spirit, and souls are saved, turned from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. They receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in Thee. And those who are in the darkness of sin and death are now brought into the light and liberty of the children of God. Give us, O Lord, a zeal to lay hold of these things. O Lord, we pray too that Thou wouldst raise up laborers for Thy harvest field. We've been bidden to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. And we pray, Lord, perhaps some even this morning might hear Thy call to arise and go wherever Thou would send them. Keep us, O Lord, available for use by Thee and ready to hear Thy voice and go forth in fellowship with Thy people to go forth even to the ends of the earth. Bless us now as we separate and receive our thanks and praise in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.